Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13. A few reminders. We are beginning our new season, our softball team. We're forming two teams this season. And if you are a male, 18 years old and older, and would like to play in one of the teams, please join us. I'm sorry it's not co-ed. Please forgive us. The ball does fly at about 150 miles an hour when it comes off the bat. And so we would like for you to join up. You don't have to have any previous experience. Most of us didn't. We're just having a lot of fun, having a good time. So we'd like for you guys to come and join us. We'll be practicing right here at Palm Beach Central High School on their ball fields at 5 p.m. this afternoon. We hope that you'll come and join us and be a part of that. Good to have the Durall family with us. God bless them in Jesus' name. Their precious, precious daughter married one of our young men. I'm looking for David. I don't see many. Oh, I know where he's at. He's in the back with the kids, I think, working. And so they came down to see Alexis, and of course to hear me preach. And we appreciate that. Thank you. Just messing. We have baptized five homeless in just the last 2 or 3 weeks. Come on, let's give the Lord praise for that. We have seen over 100 homeless people filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name through the great ministry of Brother and Sister Waller. We give God praise and honor and glory for what he's doing. We are a believer and a teacher that if we will help those that cannot help themselves, God will certainly help us. And it's why we are a believer and given to missions. All of our guests, we welcome you. It is our prayer today that you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ everything that he has for you. And I promise you, he's got more for you than you can ever imagine. What you come expecting, he's got more. And he wants you to have it today. In fact, we've already got four, maybe five, that we're going to be baptizing right after service today. In the name of Jesus, we give God praise. Hallelujah. What a wonderful spirit in the house of the Lord here today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse 13. And everybody say, and now abideth. Say, now abideth. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. This is a teaching that I started on Wednesday night. I do want to apologize to this wonderful congregation for a statement I made last Sunday. I meant it, but not really. And that is that my Wednesday night crowd is the one going to heaven. I do realize that there are many of you that cannot make it to Wednesday night because of your job, your work. No one said anything about that. That's just my own guilty conscience. I know I sound mean, I look mean, I act mean, but I'm really a nice guy. That's my wife. Thank the Lord she's not in here to back that up. She's somewhere else working with the kids. Of course, you're going to go to heaven with us. Pretty sure, maybe. It's a strong possibility. However, it would increase greatly if you would make the effort to be here on Wednesday night, if at all possible. That's when pastor gets a little deeper into the word and teaches. However, this is something I started on Wednesday night. I think it's going to take me about 6 weeks to finish if the Lord will help us. And I felt very strong to continue here today. The Lord Jesus wants to help you. I want you to tell your neighbor, Jesus wants to help you today. Tell somebody else, you need help. The Lord is good. He is good. Forgive me if I cough a couple of times. I'm still recuperating from the Brazilian flu. We just got back from Brazil a couple of weeks ago. We had a wonderful time there and picked up one of their bugs on the way back. But I am doing so, so much better. Thank you for praying for your pastor and his family. Father, we need your help today. I ask that you touch my mind and my heart. I pray that you move across this congregation and speak to every individual that is in this place. You have called us here divinely by your power. We are predestinated to stand where we are standing right now. It is by your divine will and glory that you summon us. I pray, Lord, that you arrest our attention today. And Father, that somehow your word speaks into our hearts and our spirits, and we leave out of this place with a better understanding of the power of the word of God that abides in us. And Lord, that we realize that we have everything that we need to make it, to be successful, to succeed, and to walk through the pearly gates and to dance in your presence for the rest of our eternal lives. God, I just pray, help us uplift. They're weak today. Make them strong. Discourage, God. Encourage. And we just pray, there's fearful today. Lord, let your peace rest upon their hearts and their minds and strengthen. Hurting today, God, from pain of many areas of life, how this life is able to bring to us, but you are the comforter, and I pray that you do that here today. We ask it in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. Amen. One more time, a victorious hand clap to the Lord before we're seated. Come on, let's give up praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's mighty, he's mighty, he's a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Give me just a few moments here this morning to sort of kind of revamp a little bit about what we touched on Wednesday night. If I don't do that, most of you will not be able to follow as clearly. What a powerful verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. To get a better understanding of this, we have to back up into the chapter and read the previous verses. When you go to verse number one, and we're not going to take the time here tonight, this morning, to read them all, but you go to verse number one, you find that Paul the Apostle begins to talk about the power of love, the power of charity. He talks about that if I prophesy, if I speak in tongues, if I have all knowledge and understanding, if I give myself to burn, but I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. He begins verse number four. He begins to describe this word called charity. Suffereth long, it's kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, and behaveth itself not unseemly. He continues to give explanation of what the biblical definition of love is. Certainly don't have time to get on this today, but the biblical definition of love is so foreign to the understanding of the human race. We think love is a feeling. We think love is purchasing a gift. We think that love is just this attraction that we have towards someone else. But love is so much more powerful and so much more deeper. In fact, if you're ever really going to experience love, you must first experience God. You will never know what love is until you know who God is. Verse number 7 said, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And he continues to say that it never fails. But look what he says in verse number 9. And here is where we're going to start getting a better understanding of what Paul the Apostle was saying to the church of Corinth concerning verse number 13. That now abideth. Everybody say, now abideth. Paul begins to explain something. I love this great man of God, this apostle, because he was always so forward. He was so direct. He was so down to earth, if you please. He didn't try to hide behind his apostleship. He didn't try to make himself look like he was greater than anybody else. But Paul was very straightforward in letting you know that he was tempted in the flesh like everyone, that he failed like everybody else failed. But he had a God named Jesus that gave him power and strength and endurance. And so he begins to speak about this a little bit. In verse number 9, he says, for we know in part. Everybody say in part. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to be a rude awakening for you. But you don't know everything. Paul the Apostle said, we know in part. We only understand a little. And he says, we know in part. Let's look at this real quick. We prophesy in part, but when, and then he begins to talk about a future day. He says, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. He says, I spake of a child when I was a child, spake as a man when I became a man. Verse number 12, for now, everybody say now. But now we see through a glass how? So we know in part, we see through the glass darkly, things are not clear. He says, now there's coming a time when we will see him face to face and we'll understand things better. But now I know in part, then I shall know even as I am known. And he launches from that foundation into verse number 13. And he says, and now, everybody say, and now. So Paul said, and now I know in part, and now I understand little, and now I see through a glass darkly. In other words, I don't understand everything that I see. I can't comprehend the things that come to me in my life, the things I have to face, the places that I go, and I can't quite comprehend everything that God is doing. He said, that's the now. That's where I live today. I don't have full understanding, full wisdom, and all that I would like to have at my disposal. And so he goes on to say, and now abideth. And so he's saying to the Corinth church, because you do not have all wisdom, because you do not have all knowledge, because you see in part, you know in part, you prophesy in part, you understand very little, you're walking through a thick fog of life. He said, because of that, God has given you faith, and he has given you hope, and he has given you charity. And if you will get a hold of these three things, even though you live in a world where everything is a little cloudy and you don't quite understand why certain things are happening to you and why you're going through things and why you have to face this and why did this happen? Why did this come to pass? And why do I have to live in this pain and this situation? He said, because this is the world we live in. This is the life that we experience. God has given you the gift of faith. Somebody say, I have the measure of faith. Now, he talks about that there will be a time. There is a heaven. We preached on this Wednesday night. Don't want to spend a lot of time on it today. There is a heaven. Somebody say, there's a heaven. I told our crowd on Wednesday night, I said, the reason why the world is trying to convince you there isn't a heaven, because if there's a heaven, there must be a hell. So if you're going to believe in heaven, you got to believe in hell. And the last thing you want to do if you're not living for God is believe that there's a hell. And so they're trying to convince us there is no heaven. But I'm here to tell you there is a heaven. And that it's going to be a great place. Isaiah tells us that in heaven that death is going to be swallowed up in victory. That in heaven our tears are going to be washed away. That in heaven we're going to be in the presence of an almighty God. Jesus said it this way in John. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. In other words, the Lord is saying, you're going to be with me in heaven one day. Revelation put it like this. He said, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. These things are not going to be experienced there. The problem is, though, you and I are not in heaven. We abide in the here and now. Pinch your neighbor, not real hard, just pinch him a little bit. And tell him, I'm going to pinch you again when we get to heaven, but you won't feel it there. Because we'll be in a glorified body. But here, we're still on earth. Here, everybody say, I live in the now. And so we find that there is a now. There's going to be a heaven, but there is a now. What is this now that we're talking about? Genesis chapter 3 and 17 started it out this way. When man failed in the garden, he said, you are going to till the crown. And it is going to be by sorrow and by the sweat of your brow. Job said it like this. Man that was born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Am I describing anybody's life yet?
Ecclesiastes says, for what hath man of his labor and the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun, for all his day are sorrows and his travail and his grief. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so you understand there is a now. Paul talks about it in Galatians. He said, in the now we dwell in the flesh. We will have an immortal body, but today we have a mortal body. We will be celestial, but today we are terrestrial. We are here and we are now. And because we are here and now, we fight the manifestations of the works of the flesh, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies and murders and drunkenness and revilings and all the other things Paul the apostle said. And then he begins to talk about his own flesh. He begins to talk about the battle in his own mind and in his own spirit. And in Romans chapter 7, he says, for that which I do, and I allow not, for that I would, I do, I not, but I what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not. And he continues to go on to say, I battle in my flesh, I struggle in my mind, I've got a hard time down here in the here and in the now. And every day I raise my eyes open and I rise up out of that bed. I get up out of that bed in the flesh. I battle in the mind, my spirit, my heart, my thinking, my lust, my temptations, my strife, my hatred, my bitterness, my envy, and all the things that go with it. Every day that I walk amongst men, I must battle it. I must fight it. It's called the here and the now. So Paul the apostle writes to the Corinthians and he says, I got good news for you. In the here, in the now, there is faith, there is hope, there is charity. And if you'll get a hold of these, you'll make it, you will abide, you will get to heaven. Let's everybody clap our hands to the Lord. There's a reason Jesus prayed for the faith of Peter. Why didn't he just fix it so that Peter didn't fail in the first place? Make it rain so there's no fire for him to stand next to. Kill the little old lady before she gets to him and ask him the question, do you know Jesus? Come on, you're God. Do whatever it is that it takes so that Peter never fails you. But instead, Jesus looked right at him and he said, Peter, you will deny me thrice before that old rooster crows twice. Peter said, it ain't gonna happen. I'll never fail you. I'll never deny you. Come on now. He sounds just like you and I when we're in this altar and the power of God falls upon us and the glory of God begins to flow through us. We make those kind of promises. God, I'll never do it again. I'll never fail you in that area again. I'll never think that way again. I'll never go that way again. I'm making up my mind here today, God. I'm over with that. I've conquered that. You don't get 5 steps outside that door and that devil's on top of you, pounding on your head, beating in your chest, driving these things into your heart, and the next thing you know, you're right back in this altar praying again, God have mercy, God forgive me, God help me. Oh, I wish somebody would hear the preacher today. That's why he prayed for his faith and not the fact that he would not fail. It was a given. He was going to fall. Thank God for that verse. We love the quote. A just man falleth 7 times, but arises the 8th. Hold on. You know why a just man falleth 7 times, but gets back up? I'll tell you why. Because the just live by. You see, it wasn't his righteousness that got him up. It wasn't his good works that got him back up. It wasn't because he was such a great guy. It's because he never lost his faith. Even while he was down, he remembers the word of God. Jesus loves me. This I know. Oh, the Bible tells me so. And he gets back up on his feet. Why? Because the just live by faith. I want to tell you, faith is the greatest gift that God has ever gave us. It'll move mountains if you need it to. It'll raise valleys if you need it to. It'll raise the dead if you need it to. It'll heal your body if you need it to. Faith will bring you through the fiery furnace. Faith will cause you to relax in the lion's den. He said, what I'm praying for you, Peter, is that your faith fail not. Because if you can keep the faith, I don't care how many times you fall, you'll get back up. If you can keep the faith, I don't care how many devils come against you, you will eventually defeat them. If you can keep the faith, it doesn't matter if your family forsakes you, you'll cleave to me. If you'll keep the faith, when everything goes wrong, you'll still believe in me. Now abideth faith. Let's stand to our feet, clap your hands, and thank your God for your faith. Come on. Come on. Come on, let him know you're thankful. You can be seated. I want to tell you, it's why we're still here. It's because of the gift of faith. You say, but I don't have much faith. You don't need much faith. He has given to every man the... He has given to every man the... He has given to every man the... Y'all aren't saying that. He's given to every man the... Measure of faith. What measure? All the measure you need. You know, the apostles, they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. He didn't say, be thou of strong faith. No, no, no. You know what his response was? He said, hey, Pete, if you had the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you would say to that mountain, oh, I wish somebody would get a hold of this. Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it would obey you. What is Jesus saying? It's not how much faith you have. Just use what you got. It's more than enough. You say, but preacher, I don't know if I have any faith. You're here, aren't you? You came today, didn't you? You walked through those doors, didn't you? You're still here, aren't you? That tells me you have faith. I don't care if you're hooked on drugs. I don't care if you're living immoral. I don't care if you're a murderer. That faith on the inside of you is enough to get you in the presence of Jesus Christ. And once that happens, all chains will be broken, all feathers will be loosed, and God will set you free. Just keep your faith. I wish I was like this microphone. I wish I could just change my battery. Brad, you better pick it up. Not my volume. You. So I can hand you this mic and you take over while I rest. Petru, sit down. Somebody shout faith. That devil comes to you and he says, you're not going to make it. You're going to fail. You're a loser. You're no good. You're not worth anything. Listen, don't fight with him. Don't argue with him. This is all you have to do. Just lift one hand. You don't even have to lift them both. God will take one. Just lift one hand and say, Jesus. She sung about it today. Jesus. And when you say his name, what you're going to find out is you got more faith than you need to defeat that devil that is in your life. You got more faith than what you need to defeat that addiction that is in your life. You've got more faith than what you need to overcome that depression that is in your spirit. My God, get a hold of this. He has given you the measure of faith. And Paul the apostle said, now abideth in this world, in its heartaches, in its troubles, in its pains, in its tears, in its disasters, and all of its disappointments. Paul the apostle said, now abideth faith. Faith that gets you through. Whew. Your homework. Go read Hebrews 11 and 1. All the way on through. Find out what faith will do for you. Faith will give you a good report. Give you understanding, sacrifice. It'll please God. It'll save your house. It'll help you believe in God. It'll let you make the journey with God. It'll help you search for God. You'll receive strength from God. Faith will not only bless you, but bless others through you. Faith will know that God will let you know that God will never forsake you. Faith will let you know that God will protect you. Faith will refuse evil and cause you to cleave to righteousness. Faith will cause you to forsake your old ways and follow the new path. Faith will help you keep the commandments of God. Faith will allow you to walk down a path that's unknown. But fear not. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they are with me. Faith, faith, faith will help you overcome persecution. If they saw you asunder, you'll still believe. If they crucify you upside down, you'll still believe. If they throw you to the lions, you'll still believe. If they burn you in the fire, you'll still believe. If they boil you in oil, John, you have faith. Somebody say, I have faith. You say, well, I can't seem to defeat this sin in my life. Faith will help you do that. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Doing what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our. So what is Jesus concerned about you? He's concerned that you start out in faith. He's the author. And he's concerned that you finish in faith. He's the finisher. He's the author. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the author and the finisher of what? Of your faith. You see, Jesus knows that in between your beginning and your ending is all kinds of failures, all kinds of letdowns, all kinds of heartaches, all kinds of pain and sorrows and tears, death in the family, financial bankrupt, losing of your house, trouble with your children, trouble with your spouse. Oh, hello, baby. I love you. It's good to see you back. I did not say, you know, I really didn't mean it. It was just the word spouse that triggered her, not the word trouble. Because she's the most wonderful person in the world, and y'all know that. See, one thing this old boy will never do is mistreat that woman. Because if I ever do that, I got 600 people knocking on my door, ready to tear me in pieces. So you don't have to worry about that, sweetie. Okay, let me get my mind right. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so he didn't go in your life and he didn't protect you from every pain. He didn't stop every bad thing from coming to you. He knew the attacks of the devil that were coming in your life. He knew the addictions you would face. He knew the times you would fall. He knew the failures that were coming. He knew everything that would ever happen to you that you would have to face. That isn't what he tried to stop you from. That isn't what he really protected. What he protected was your faith. He said, I started you out in your faith and I prayed for you and I'm going to finish you in the faith, because he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You want to get in heaven? You got to keep the faith. You can't let go of your faith. Why do you think the devil comes to you and says, why do you still go to that church? You keep failing every week. You're just a big letdown. You're just a big spiritual slob. You have no victory in your life. Why don't you just quit going to church? Why don't you just quit believing? Why don't you just give it up? He wants you to lose your faith. Because as long as you have your faith, you will make it. You will overcome. You will be victorious. God will bring you out. Tell your neighbor, keep the faith. Whatever you do, don't stop believing. I don't care how far you fall. I don't care how deep it is. I don't care how weak you are. I don't care if you think you can never get out. Keep the faith, because faith will bring you out. I'm going to try to get to my message. If I don't, I'll preach it to my Wednesday night crowd. I'm still reviewing. Y'all should have been there Wednesday night. It was awesome. God really blessed. You need to go to the podcast. If you can't make it on Wednesdays, you need to go to the podcast. And you need to listen to every night, Wednesday night. Sometimes it's not Pastor, sometimes it's Brother Sapp or Brother Powell or Waller, or some of the other great men. Wonderful men that preach in this pulpit. There's never been a man enter this pulpit that God did not pour his anointing upon them and pull out of them something that you need to hear from the throne. You ought to give God praise for that. We've got wonderful, wonderful, great preachers. Wonderful men of God. Wonderful men of God. In fact, y'all always have much better church when I'm gone. I guess when the cat's away, the mice do play. Revelations 14 and 12. Look at this. Here is the patience of the saints. Say, I need patience. Your neighbor needs it more than you. Tell him, you need patience. You need patience. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You never lose your faith in your Savior. You never lose your faith in your mighty God who shed his blood upon Calvary so that your sins might be remitted. You know what he's saying in Revelation chapter 14 here? He's saying, everyone that kept the faith made it. All you have to do is keep the faith. I'm not necessarily keeping record of everything in between. What I want to know is, did you start out in faith? And are you going to end in faith? What is that scripture in the New Testament? The Bible says, I think I have it somewhere here in my notes, but the word of the Lord says, when he returns, will he find faith? Amen. Romans 3 and 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. It's only 12:37. Just a few more minutes. Is that okay? Okay, listen to this. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. Look what he says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. I hate that word. I mean, it's a beautiful word. Just my Louisiana tongue can't say it. Propitiations. Okay. Through to be a substitute through faith in his blood. Now tie those scriptures together. What did he say? He said that even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, he later lets us know the faith that he's talking about is in the blood. Unto all that upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned. Everybody has come short of the glory of God. We were justified in his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But how did all of that happen? It was through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my background. You don't know where I've come from. I'm here to tell you, if you can have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, this word says you will receive remission of sins. How do I get that? And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of your sins. If you'll go down in that water out there in the name of Jesus Christ, faith in his blood, you'll come out of that water a new creature in Christ. The old man goes down, the new man comes up, a brand new life. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Somebody shout faith. Shout faith. Shout faith. Clap your hands to the Lord, giving praise. It's your faith that keeps bringing you back. You need to study Luke 18 and 2 through 7. The little old lady keeps knocking at the judge's door. Finally, she just keeps coming back, and she just keeps coming back, and and every time she comes, she gets a no answer. Get out of here. I'm not going to do this for you. And the next day she'd be back. Leave, it's not going to happen. And the next day she'd be back. Woman, are you not going to understand that I tell you that I don't have the power in the law or whatever it might have been? I'm not going to do this for you. But the little old lady never stopped. She just kept coming back. And the word of the Lord says that hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Oh, go back to the verse before that, verse number 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust just said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Look at verse, the end of verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith upon the earth? He compared this woman's persistence to faith because she would not give up. She must have had some faith on the inside of her. That's why you can't let go of your faith. No matter how much you fail, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how many times you fall down, you can't let go of your faith. Why? Because no matter how impossible it seems, faith will keep bringing you back. Mary Keith, I didn't live in your house, so I don't know everything. But I know you lived with that grouchy man for many years. 27 years, am I right, on praying for him? 30, I'm sorry, didn't mean to take away 3 years of faith. 30, yeah, but 20, he got the Holy Ghost doing like 27 years, right? That's great. All right. 27 years, she kept coming to the house of God, and she would worship the Lord, and she'd come to the altar, and she'd say, God, save my husband. Save my husband. And she'd go back home, and there he'd be, still drinking, still doing whatever he did, still living in sin. She'd come back the next week, oh God, save my husband. 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year, 15 years. Lord, save my husband. 20 years, 25 years, 26 years. Lord, save my husband. 27 years. And out of the blue, come through the back doors, Stephen Keith made his way down to an altar, lifted his hands. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. We baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what did that? It's called faith. It's called faith. It's called faith. Because faith will keep bringing you back. Faith will keep bringing you back. Faith will keep bringing you back until you get the answer. That's why the Lord said, knock, knock, and it shall be open. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and it shall be answered. Because faith will keep bringing you back. And there's something about God. If you'll just show up one more time, if you'll just ask one more time, if you'll just reach one more time, it's called faith. Because faith keeps bringing you back. I want to skip a little. I'm going to finish. Music, come. I'm going to finish. Don't stand, though. It doesn't really mean a lot. I'm just giving you hope. I'm turning the light on at the end of the tunnel. I've got so much here I'd like to talk about, but I feel the Lord has given me. But I want to go. I want to go to the end. Somebody say, I need the faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 7. Know ye therefore, and I'm finishing. You happy, baby? You got to love her. I love her. I was going to say something, but I'm not. Years will put just a little bit of wisdom in you, and you learn to think back at how dumb that was, that you actually said that. And even though my memory's fading, there are certain things that just stay so strong in my life. And when I go to open my mouth, I go, you know, I'm just not going to make that mistake twice. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. We could stop right there and preach an hour, but there's something I want to get to. Let's stand. I'm finishing. Let's stand. I want you to listen to me. If you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, this is your moment. It's your moment. You say, but I don't know if I have that faith. To every man is given the measure of faith. When you take the breath of life, the measure of faith comes into you. I think it just sort of piggybacks on the breath of life that God gives you. The measure of faith makes its way. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. So you have faith before you ever come into God, because it's the faith that brings you to God. That he will justify the heathen through faith. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. For then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Say, I need to be in the faith. I want everybody to say that. I need to be in the faith. You're facing all kinds of things. You're going through all kinds of things. You're not sure what the answer is. You need to get in the faith. And I'm going to show you how scripturally here in just a moment. It's the easiest thing that will ever happen to you. Brother Robinette was with us a couple of weeks ago. We had 50 people get the Holy Ghost. Isn't God awesome? It's the easiest thing. The easiest thing that will ever happen to you is to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. All you have to do is just release your faith. You already have it. You just have to release it. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We drop down to verse number 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. And by the way, unless you are a Jew or a Samaritan, you are a Gentile. So the chances are every one of us in here are Gentile. I think we have a couple Jews. I don't know if we have any Samaritans. Your mom or dad would have to be a Jew for that to be the case. You got Jew in you, Petru? He's Romanian. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Say, I'm a Gentile. See, only 9 of y'all said that. The word Gentile is not a cuss word. It just means you're not a Jew.
So if you're not a Jew, I want you to say this with me. I am a Gentile. Okay. That's better. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile. So say, the blessings of Abraham can come on me. How? Through Jesus Christ. That we might, oh, here it is. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. So that measure of faith that God gave you opens the door for you to step into the blessings of Abraham and receive the power of the Holy Ghost upon you. In other words, you don't have to do anything special to get it. It doesn't take 50 spiritual push-ups. You don't have to climb 1,000 steps and kiss the toe of a statue. You don't have to say 400 Hail Marys. And I do not mean that in a derogatory way. I mean that in a very sincere way. You do not have to say Hail Marys to receive this. You don't have to recite 50 Psalms. No. You were given the measure of faith. And that measure of faith allows you to step into the presence of God, even as a Gentile, and allow the blessings of Abraham to come upon you. And when you feel the blessings of Abraham begin to come upon you and God touches you, you just open your mouth and begin to praise Him. And through faith, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and become a living child of God. Verse number 26. For ye are all the children of God. How? By faith. You cannot become a child of God except by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27 explains it. How that happens. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What does faith do? Faith gets you in the presence of God to receive His Spirit. Faith will cause you to say, I need to be buried in the name of my Savior for the remission of my sins. That's why Jesus said, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because you can't enter into the kingdom of God without faith. And faith will cause you to receive his Spirit and to be baptized in his name. He that believeth on me, he that hath faith in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Ghost, which had not yet been given, because he was not yet glorified. But he has been crucified, he has been resurrected, and he has been glorified. And after he was glorified, he sent back the Spirit. And he said, all that believe on him, all that have faith in him, as the scripture has said, they will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. No wonder he said, what I pray is that your faith fails not. That your faith fails not. Because as long as you can keep the faith, God has a chance to work in your life. We're going to baptize some people today. We can start getting them ready. If you've never been buried in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, we would love to do that. But I want to open up this altar here today to all of those that may want to come down. Listen, you may have lived for God for 20 years, but maybe you're struggling with something, and you just want to come into the presence of the Lord and say, God, I want to renew my faith in you. Because I've learned today, no matter how many times I fall, if I can just keep the faith, if I can just keep holding on and understanding that you love me and that I love you, and I'm going to walk every day to do my best in you, and I'm going to climb. And as Paul the Apostle, I struggle in my flesh with things, and that I would do, I do not, and that I would not do, that I do. And there's a war in my members, but God, I'm going to hold on to the faith. I wonder if there's somebody here today that you'd like to come and just say, I'm going to hold on to the faith. I've been facing some things. I've been struggling. I've had things come against me. Financially, things aren't right. Maybe in the marriage, maybe with my children, maybe in my body, maybe in my spirit. Whatever it might be, it could be anything. And you just want to come down and say, God, that I'm going to hold on to the faith. I'm not going to let go of the faith. I'm going to hold on to it. In Jesus' name. Let's come, church. God bless you. Bring somebody with you when you come. Bring someone with you. Just grab them by the hand and say, come on, let's go. Let's go talk to the Lord about our faith. Hallelujah. Let's go talk to God about our faith. We've got to hold on. We got to hold on to this thing called faith. We can't let go of it. We got to hold on. Why don't you bring your faith down to the altar and let God touch your heart and your mind and your spirit. Sir, ma'am, young man, young lady, we call out to you today. We say, why don't you make your way down to the altar? Maybe you've been trying to believe God for something like that little woman that just kept knocking on the door of the judge, and the judge kept sending her away. Why don't you make your way down that aisle, come into this altar, and just knock one more time at that door. Don't let your faith fail. 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 Just bring it down to it. Bring it down to it. God, you know what I'm wrestling with. You know what I'm fighting. You know what I'm struggling with today, God. But Lord, I come in your presence one more time, because I haven't lost the faith. I haven't lost the faith. I'm battling things, but I still believe. I'm battling things, but I'm not going to give up. I'm battling things, but I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to walk this path of faith. I'm going to walk the trail of faith. Oh, that's church. That's in church. Let's pray for one another. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. I pray for you, brother, that your faith fail not. Hallelujah. I trust. Come on, that's it. Reach out to him. Reach out to him. Reach out to him. breath.
Come on, that's it. Hallelujah. Reach out to him. Reach out to him.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You have all the faith you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You have all the faith you need to have your sins remitted and baptized. All you have to do is call on him. All you got to do is call on him. All you have to do is call on him. Call on him.
For you hold my word.